I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that on Mother's Day, every preacher, every church I know of, they have a Mother's Day message. But on Father's Day, a lot of churches just don't really even much acknowledge it other than to say, well, it's Father's Day. And we're going to do something different today. You know, typically the Mother's Day message is to tell the rest of us how much we need to honor those mothers and how special they are and how that we wouldn't be here without them, right? But when it comes to Father's Day, usually the message goes something like this. You sorry lot. It is your fault, the condition of our families, our country, and everything that's wrong in the world, and you need to get your act together. If you would learn to be more manly and be more sensitive, provide for your family better and work harder, be more available and at home more, if you would just get your act together, then the world would be a better place. So come on, men. We're not going to have that kind of a Father's Day message today. All the men sighed a sigh of relief. Amen? No, I'm going to encourage you today and challenge those who are not fathers. All right? But before we do that, I just want to add to the video announcement, first of all, that next Sunday night, our children and youth will be doing the service. And I encourage you to come out in support of our children and youth. Just be here just to support them. But I also want to tell those of you that are too selfish to do that, that you got to smile when you say that, right? That you will be blessed. You will be pleasantly surprised, and you will walk out of here glad that you came, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of children and youth in this world that cause trouble, but we have a great children's group, a great youth group, and they will bless you. You will be glad. You'll leave feeling enriched and blessed for having been here for that Sunday night service next week. Also, the announcement about a big surprise next Sunday, I'm not going to tell you what it is. It wouldn't be a surprise. But I'm just going to tell you, it's big and you want to be here. And it's better to see for yourself than to just hear about it. So be here next Sunday. It's going to be big, exciting, and fun, all right? One last thing. As we pray this morning before I share the word of the Lord, I want to mention to you, I'm sure that most of you have heard, but I want to make sure that all of you know it. This past week, Janice Nealon passed away, and Ralph and Janice have been members of this church for over 50 years. I believe they are some of the charter members. But anyway, Janice passed away this past week. And just remember that family in prayer this week. And when the Lord brings them to mind, just pray for them. Well, let's pray as we prepare to look to the Word of the Lord today. Father, I just thank You for Your goodness and blessings upon us and upon this service today. I thank You, Lord, for the presence of God here in our midst, that Jesus, You are faithful to show up when two or three gather together in Your name. And Lord, we just pray today, Lord, for those that are hurting, for those that are in need, those that are struggling. Lord, we lift up the Nealon family, Lord, that You would be with them during this hour and this difficult time, and give strength and grace, Lord. I thank You for that. And Father, I pray that today, that every father would be encouraged in the Lord, and that we would truly hear the Word of God, that our ears, the ears of our heart, Lord, would be open and receptive. Lord, that we would truly be changed in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to talk to you this morning about a father's place. Well, before we get to that, let me tell you a story. There was a family, a real typical family, where, you know, the kids always want another pet. Well, this family, the children had decided they wanted a hamster, and so they begged their mom and asked her and pleaded and on and on and on, made the typical vows that if she would get them a hamster, that they would take care of it. She wouldn't have to do anything. Well, you know how that goes. About 2 months down the road, she's feeding the thing every day, cleaning up after it, doing all the work. And so she decided she was going to find a new home for this hamster. They named the hamster Danny. And, you know, Danny was well taken care of and got plenty of playtime, but it was Mom that was doing all the work. And so Mom finally comes to them and she tells them, she says, "Now, I have something I have to tell you. I have found a new home for Danny. He's going to have to go somewhere else." And she was really surprised how that the children took it really well. They did have a few remarks. They said, "Well, he's been around here for a while and we're really going to miss him." And she said, "Well, I understand that, but I'm the one that has to feed him all the time and clean up after him." And the children said, "Well, maybe if he didn't eat so much and make such big messes, he could stay." Mom said, "No, I've made up my mind. It's time for Danny to go. Now go get his cage." Well, at this point, the children all burst into tears. They said, "Danny, we thought you said Daddy." I know, it's really bad, I know. I hope that's not a true story. But the point is that in a lot of families today, in fact, if you watch what comes out of Hollywood, a father is basically good for two things: bringing home the bacon and killing bugs. And that's it. I want to tell you today that that's not really a father's place. We're celebrating Father's Day today. And, you know, as I said earlier, there's a difference in the way our society looks at Mother's Day and Father's Day. Mother's Day is really, really special. I mean, you know, it's considered a cardinal sin if you don't buy a Mother's Day card and do something special for Mom. It's just something, you can't afford to miss that, right? But somehow Father's Day is just not treated quite the same. Even at church, Mother's Day is usually a big deal. You know, it'll be one of the biggest attendance days that we have all year. Typically, it is the biggest day other than Easter. Father's Day, not so much. Why is that? You know, there's even, as I said, a difference typically in the message that's preached on Mother's Day versus what's preached on Father's Day. But dads, this morning, I want to put you in your place. Put you in your rightful place. That is a place of honor. That is a place of respect and regard. How many of you fathers know your place? Well, here's the way it goes in some families. One dad, he brought a toy home that he won in a raffle at work. He set his three boys down. And he said, "All right, now let's see who deserves to have this toy. Who always obeys Mommy and does what she says without talking back?" Well, the three boys kind of ducked their heads and they said, "Okay, Dad, you can have it." Do you know your place? One little girl and her parents were sitting around the supper table and the little girl says, "Daddy, you're the boss, aren't you?" And the daddy smiled real big and he said, "Well, yes, I am." The little girl said, "That's because Mommy put you in charge, right?" Something like that. The neck that turns the head. I've heard it all. I'm telling you. Where does all that come from? And you know, we make a lot of jokes about it. It's funny stuff. And you know, the sitcoms on TV and the comedians, it's just endless, the jokes that are made. You know, you take one like Everybody Loves Raymond, Ray Barone. Well, it's really Ray Buffoon. Because Ray can't do anything right as a father. He's a total, what does Deborah call him? Idiot. You know, just bring home the money and stay out of the way. That's the attitude that the world has towards fathers. And I want you to know, I realize right now some of you are thinking, "Yeah, but those fathers, you know, they do. They're just messed up. They need to stay out of the way." I'm telling you, church, we need to put fathers back in their rightful place, in their scriptural place, the place that God has given to a father. Enough jokes. Your place as a father is a place of honor. The Bible tells us over and over to honor father and mother. Over and over. You know, to honor is to respect, to show special treatment, to show regard for. You know, I think it's a start to honor fathers on Father's Day. But in a way, I almost think that these kind of special days do more harm than good. And I'll tell you why. It's kind of like Thanksgiving. You know, we do it all that one day so we don't have to do it the rest of the year. And we say that's not so, but it seems to be. And you know what? I think we do that quite a bit with Father's Day. Okay, we honor the dads today. Now we can treat them just like regular the rest of the year. No, biblically, scripturally, a father is to be honored every day. And so I want to challenge you and encourage you. Let's put fathers in their rightful place, a place of honor. Fathers need to be reinstated to the level of importance that God gave them as God intends. You know, you look at what's going on in our country and the slide of morality, the lack of spiritual integrity, and the declining values in our country. And it is directly related and proportionate to the way that fathers have been devalued and degraded and removed from their rightful place of honor and leadership. Sure, it's quiet in here. I'm telling you, we need, church, we need to realize that the world's way doesn't work. God's way and what the Scripture says does work. You know, one of the excuses, the justification that is made for not honoring fathers, and I'm telling you, every family can do this. Well, they made mistakes. They have faults. They don't deserve to be honored. I've never met a mother that didn't have mistakes and faults. I've never met a child or a young person that didn't make mistakes and have faults. Yes, fathers make mistakes. Yes, they have faults. And certainly some are more deserving of being honored. But all of them are to be honored. We give them that place of honor because the Bible tells us to. In fact, it is one of the Ten Commands. That's how important God thinks it is. See, we might think that it's not that big a deal. God thinks it's a big deal that you honor your father and mother. In fact, the Scripture says it is the first commandment with the promise that if you do this, it'll go well for you and you'll live long on the earth. You see, one of the best things that we can ever teach our children and young people is to honor their father and mother. Every parent wants things to go well for their children. Well, here's the promise that guarantees that. Honor your father and mother, and it'll go well for you, and you'll live long on the earth. That's what Ephesians 6:2 says. But that command is found not only in the Ten Commandments, but at least 8 times in the Bible you find that command. We need to renew our minds. We need to get a scriptural mindset, an attitude about fathers and about the position of being a father. You know, it's popular to blame fathers for all the problems in families, all the problems in our society, problems with children, even adult children, blame their problems on their fathers. And certainly there have been a lot of bad fathers, a lot of negative things in our society as a result of bad fathers. But listen to me, that just shows how very important they are. And society seems to have this so mixed up that on the one hand, they want to say fathers aren't really important, and then on the other hand, they blame fathers for everything. I'm telling you, we need to realize that fathers are important, and they need to be given their rightful place of honor in the home, in leadership, and even in the church. You know, why is it that in the Scripture, beginning from the book of Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, fathers are esteemed and honored and regarded And yet in our generation, they're not. I'm telling you, there is this attack of the enemy to undermine fathers, not only to destroy families, but to weaken the body of Christ, to keep the church from being effective. You know what God said after He made Adam, before He made Eve? I can do better. Not really. Thank you, ladies, for not saying amen to that. I appreciate that. But it is not because, listen, the problems with fathers, it's not because they're the weaker gender and they're just, they're just inferior and they're just a sorry lot. Come on now. That's the attitude of our society at large, is that men just don't do right. They're just not really, going to be a good influence. Men, we need to change that. We need to take back that rightful place of honor that God has given to us in Scripture. I'm telling you, the more that men and fathers are degraded and told they're no good, the more they back away from their God-given call and role as a leader in the home and the church. You know, here again, let's just take a little of the world's attitude and philosophy. You never, ever, ever tell a child, well, you're stupid, you're no good, you're never going to amount to anything. And yet that same society preaches that to fathers all the time. You're no good. You're never going to amount to anything. You cause more trouble. You do more harm than good. I'm telling you, we need to esteem fathers. We need to give them their rightful place. And what the Bible says is that it is a place of honor. Honor fathers and mothers. Even in the church, there seems to be this disrespect towards fathers. And we allow that even in the body of Christ. You know, when you look at the early church, there was no shortage of men to be leaders. Now, God used women, and He still uses women. But in the early church, there was never a shortage of spiritual men to rise up in leadership. But today, you see, because of this attitude in our society, it happens first in the home, and then it also happens in the church, where men no longer step up into that role of leadership. End result, in almost all churches, there's twice as many women as men. It's not because men are just unspiritual and carnal as a lot. Come on now. No, it is because of the attitudes of our society that we have allowed in the church, where men are no longer esteemed and honored to be leaders. 94 million men in America, 68 million of them don't attend any church, in spite of the fact that 86% of them grew up with a church background. It's time to put fathers in their rightful place, a place of honor. And I challenge all of you here today, honor your father and obey the Word of God. But I want to encourage the fathers. You might feel inadequate. You might feel like you are not spiritual enough, that you're not all that you should be. But realize how important you are. Realize that you have a God-given role that's important, that He, listen, it's so important that He Himself relates to His children as a father. So many people in our society have a messed up conception of who God is, in part because the way that fathers have been degraded and devalued in our society. We need to put fathers back in their rightful place, a place of honor. Again, there's that justification. We say, oh, they don't deserve that. Put them in the place of honor. You'll be surprised how many fathers will rise to the occasion and be the man that they're supposed to be. There's many primary roles of a father, but I want to talk about three of those this morning. The first is the role of a protector. God has put something innate in every man to protect his family. There's a desire deep down that he wants to protect and watch over his family. He won't hesitate if his family is threatened. Now, you know, our society looks down on men for being aggressive, but when your family is threatened, it's good to be aggressive. To stand up and be willing to defend your family, and not just from physical harm, but to watch over, protect your harm from the ills and the pressures and stresses of society. You know, if there's an unusual sound in the house, it's usually the man that goes and checks it out, right? They say that's because he's the one that's expendable. No, that's not it. It's because there's something inside of him that God put there to protect his family. That's part of his role. He's the hero. And he might say, oh, well, he doesn't deserve to be called a hero. You see, that is so wrong how that we've allowed in our society that dad is no longer the hero. It's time to put him back in his proper place and realize that God says to honor him. Next, the father is the provider. He provides for the material needs of his family. Now, in Proverbs 31, when it's speaking about the virtuous woman, it tells us how that she provides for her household. She works hard with her hands to provide for her household. But that responsibility still primarily falls on the shoulders of that father to take care of his family. Paul brings out how important that is. He says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially his immediate family, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, that's pretty strong language. But I believe that God has put that desire inside of every man to want to provide for his family, to take care of his family. I've met a few lazy men that seem to be lacking in that area. But you know what? There's something inside of a man that wants to take care of his family and provide for them. And one of the most difficult things that happens to men is when they go through a time where financially that they're struggling. Whether it's because they've lost a job, they're currently unemployed, or maybe their job that they have just isn't really making ends meet. That's a very difficult thing for a man. But rather than encouraging fathers and praying for them and lifting them up during that difficult time, most of the time they feel discouraged and put down by society. No, that's part of their God-given role to provide for their family, and we need to pray for them when they struggle in that area. But finally, the father is to be the priest of his home. He is to be a spiritual leader in his home. And that's the one where there seems to be such a breakdown, and in our society's view, and even in the church, this has come into play so often where the father no longer is given that role as a spiritual leader. The Bible says several times that the head of the woman is the man. One example of that is Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." You know what? That is so politically incorrect. I mean, when I share a scripture like that, or you make the statement and you say, "The husband is the head of the wife," I realize that that just flies in the face of the attitude of our society. And even amongst believers, a large majority of believers don't really believe that. The husband is the head of the wife. It doesn't matter how many times the Bible says it, they don't believe it. But the Bible says it very plainly. It is the truth. The husband is the head of the wife. He is the spiritual leader. That is God's plan. That is His intention. And you can't change that. It's where we just have to go against the grain of society. We got to decide that we're going to believe what God's Word says instead of what Oprah says. Listen, 3/4 of the women are probably thinking right now, well, my family's the exception. I have to be the spiritual leader in my home. And probably half the men are thinking that too. Yeah, my wife's going to have to be the spiritual leader because, you know, I'm just not very spiritual. No, it is time for us to put men back in the rightful place. That man is to be the leader in his home, and that includes in spiritual things. You know, one of the things that the world will say in response to that, and certainly there's some justification behind this, is that, well, you know, so many men, they think they're supposed to be the boss. They think they're supposed to dictate. That's not what it means to be the head. That's not what it means to be the leader in your home. It means to take responsibility to lead your family. And the Bible is all about not lording it over someone, but servant leadership. In fact, in that same passage in Ephesians chapter 5, where it says that the husband is the head of the wife, it says the husband is to love his wife and as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. So to be the head of your home means that you lay down your life in order to take care of your family, to love your wife, to love your children. But you see, we need to put men back into their rightful place as the head of their home to lead. It just doesn't work when you do it the world's way. Fatherless daughters are 111% more likely to have children as teenagers. Fatherless daughters are 164% more likely to have an out-of-wedlock birth. Fatherless daughters have a 92% higher divorce rate than girls raised with dads in the home. Now, I want to say something about that before I go any further. If you don't have a father in the home, as a wife, first of all, you decide you're going to be part of that other percentage. And if you're a young person and you don't have a dad in the home, that doesn't condemn you to be on the negative side of that statistic. But it is a warning to you that you need to realize that you need spiritual authority figures in your life. You need to look to leadership from other people, from spiritual people, to help you to make the right choices and decisions in life. Fatherless sons are 35% more likely to experience marital failure. Fatherless sons are 300% more likely to be incarcerated in state juvenile institutions. In fact, fatherless sons make up 70% of all juveniles in state institutions. According to the National Center for Health Statistics, fatherless children are anywhere from 100 to 200% more likely to have emotional behavioral problems. Fatherless young adults are twice as likely to need psychological help. According to our nation's hospitals, 80% of adolescents admitted for psychiatric reasons come from fatherless families. You see, what I'm saying to you is you fathers are really important. I mean, you're important. Don't you listen to the liberal rhetoric in our society that you're not. You are important to your family. Now, sometimes even if a father is in the home, he's absent too much of the time from leadership. I really believe that if we'll esteem fathers and put them in their rightful place, that fathers will again take that role of leadership and be the man of God in their house. An NBC poll discovered that by the time an average child is 6 years old in America, he or she will have spent more time watching TV by the time they're six than all of the time of conversations they will have in their entire life with their father. Who's raising our kids? I'm telling you, we need spiritual leadership from fathers. A researcher set out to find out how much time middle-class fathers spent with their families. And so first they interviewed them. They asked the fathers, how much time do you spend with your kids? And they averaged out to 15 to 20 minutes a day is what the father said. I spend 15 to 20 minutes a day in conversation and dealing with my kids. So then they decided to verify that, and they put microphones on those children. And at the end of the test period, they went back and they found that, on average, those fathers spent 37 seconds per day talking with their children. Oh, how we need leadership from fathers. And fathers, I want to say it again very plainly and clearly to you. I am not pointing the finger at you today. I am saying that we as a church cannot accept the attitudes of society to downgrade and devalue and put down fathers. But instead, we honor fathers and give them their rightful place. Let's just keep going with this. I want you to understand. I want you to see that the world's way doesn't work. You know, there's been a lot of things over the last 30, 40 years of people blame the ills of society on this or that. But this is so obvious. Listen, if both your parents worshiped with you regularly while you were growing up, there's an 80% chance that you will worship God regularly as an adult. If your mother worshiped with you regularly growing up, there's a 30% chance that you'll worship regularly as an adult. If your father worshiped with you regularly without your mother, the likelihood that you'll worship regularly increases to 70%. Listen, ladies, I'm not putting you down in any way. I'm just saying a father's leadership is very important in the home. Now, if you're a single mother, again, I encourage you, you decide my kids are going to be part of that 30%. But research has revealed that if the first person to accept the Lord in a household is a child, there's a 3.5% chance the rest of that family, the entire family, will come to know the Lord. If the mother is the first in that family to accept the Lord, give her life to the Lord, then there is a 17% chance that the entire family will come to the Lord. If the father is the first in a family to accept the Lord, become a real Christian, there's a 93% chance that the rest of the family will come to know the Lord, the entire family. You see how important it is? You see why the enemy has tried to undermine the position of a father in our country? Genesis chapter 6. The Bible tells us the world had become exceedingly corrupt, so corrupt that God was going to destroy the whole world with the flood. In Genesis 6 and 8 it says, "But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord." Noah was walking with God. He was a preacher of righteousness. And listen, God saved his whole family because he found favor in the eyes of the Lord. How about Lot? That man, the righteous man Lot, who lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, and all of the sin and the depravity of those people, it vexed his righteous soul. And listen, it was because of Lot that his family was delivered out of that place. God wasn't going to allow them to be destroyed with the wicked. Listen to what God says about Abraham in Genesis 18 and 19. "I have chosen him so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him." He said he chose him because he'll direct his children and his household to keep the way of the Lord. Fathers, it is your place to guide your family spiritually. Again, that doesn't mean that you're to be their dictator, but to be their leader, to set the example, to speak the Word of God to them, to lead them in prayer, to impart spiritual wisdom to them. And I'm telling you today that God has put you in that place for a reason. Don't listen to the society around you, but be the man that God created you to be, and your children will be blessed after you. Listen, Joshua made this declaration. And I'll tell you, if he was alive today and made this statement, people would criticize him, especially as a leader. If he was to be so bold, they would have him for lunch on the news. I'm telling you, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. Now it's, "Well, I'm going to serve the Lord. I don't know about the rest of my family, but you know, that's my choice. I'm going to serve the Lord, you know, whatever." No, he was strong and he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now, I realize and acknowledge that every person has to come to a place where they put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ themselves. And ultimately, every person is going to grow up and make their own decisions. But fathers, I want to encourage you to be strong. When they're in your house, you say like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And society says you don't have the right to say that, but the Bible says you do. Amen. You're the leader and the head of your household. Say like Joshua, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Listen to what the Bible says about a man who would be a leader in the church. 1 Timothy 3, 4 and 5. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him with proper respect. If anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Now listen to it from the New King James, and the King James is also very strong. One who rules his own house well. Rules? Do you rule your house? That's a four-letter word. You can't rule your house. Who do you think you are? But that's what the Bible says, is that a spiritual leader is someone who can rule their house. I guess y'all are quiet because the wheels are turning, right? You're taking it all in, right? I know that some of the things I'm sharing directly from Scripture this morning are so contrary to the attitudes of our society. But I challenge you, it is the Word of God. He rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? You see, fathers are to have a place of honor, to be obeyed and respected. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Don't provoke your children to wrath. You know what happens with a lot of fathers? Because they are not given that place of esteem and honor in the home, and they don't regularly fulfill that role of God-given leadership, a lot of fathers get so aggravated and frustrated that then they deal with their children in an improper way and provoke them to wrath. They embitter them against themselves. It happens all the time in our society. But I'm telling you, part of the key is that fathers need to be put in that place of honor and respect. But then he goes on and he gives fathers this responsibility to train and teach your children in the way of the Lord. That is part of a father's role. It's not the mother's job. He says, fathers, train, admonish, teach your children. Now I want to flip that around though, because we're not getting after the fathers this morning, right? I want to say to every child, to every teenager, your father is the one who's going to teach you and train you in the things of the Lord. Now certainly your pastor may help and your youth pastor may help, and especially if you don't have a father in the home, then you need to look to other spiritual leaders in your life. But for those of you who have a father in your home, you need to look to that father to be a spiritual leader and be willing to be taught from him. And not just about spiritual things. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that a father is to impart wisdom to their children. In fact, the whole entire book of Proverbs is just that. It is a father imparting wisdom to his sons. And we ourselves read those Proverbs to gain wisdom, but it was initially written from a father to his sons. And I'll tell you, if children and young people would listen to their fathers, they could avoid a lot of heartache and problems in life. When your father is talking to you about relationships, your father is talking to you about school, your father's talking to you about choices and decisions you're making regarding your career and your future, you need to listen. When your father's talking to you about dealing with a particular situation in life and matters of character and integrity, you need to listen to your father. That's giving him the place of honor that he is supposed to have in your life. And when you don't do that, you disrespect and disregard and dishonor him, and then you are disobeying God. The first responsibility God has given to fathers is that of teaching their children, imparting wisdom to them, developing character in them. And for every child and young person, Oh, how you need to see that God uses them to bless your life, to help you. And if you'll honor them, it'll go well for you. And you know, the real key there is that so many don't believe the Scripture. Because if you believe that honoring your father and mother is the key to life going well for you, you would do it. I tell you, God's word is true. Honor your father and your mother. I challenge every child to honor your father and put him in his rightful place, a place of honor. I challenge every wife to put your husband, don't put him in his place, put him in his rightful place as a husband, a father, as a man of God, as the head of your house. And I encourage every father to realize the place that God has given you. I encourage you. Listen, when you lead, they will follow. You say, oh, but no, they're not. They're resistant. You know, it always happens that for any leader, there's going to be times when those under their leadership resist. There's going to be times, and especially if you hadn't been leading, I can tell you, you're going to meet some resistance. And this is what happens with most fathers. There's three choices, and sadly, most fathers, because of the pressure of society, end up taking one of the first two choices. The first choice is they just give up their leadership. They won't let me lead. They won't follow. So why should I bother? Why should I try? They say it's not my place. So why should I try to lead? Why should I take the responsibility when they won't let me lead? The second choice is that many fathers just get mad. I want to lead. I want to be the spiritual leader in my home. I want to help my family. I want to take the responsibility. God's put it upon me. But they won't, and so they get mad and angry, and they respond in anger. And let me tell you, it never works, Dad. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says don't exasperate your children. Don't bring about that anger and embitter them against you. The third choice is the one that works, and that is that you just keep leading. Listen, scripturally it bears out that when a man leads his family right, it works. You just keep leading and they'll come around. Just keep leading. But you know what? Not only scripturally, but statistically, it bears out that when a father leads his family, eventually they come along. So dads, be encouraged. You have a place of honor. It is a place of authority and power. It's God-given. Society can't take it away from you, so don't give it away. Realize you're in a place of honor this morning. This isn't just some preacher talking. It's from the Bible. God's put you in that place of honor. And so I esteem you and encourage you this morning. Be that man of God that He created you to be. Stand with me and let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the word of the Lord to us. And Lord, we receive it in Jesus' name. We receive it. We agree with the word of God. And Father, I pray today, especially for these fathers again, that each one will be able to rise up into that position that You've placed them in. I pray You strengthen them in the inner man to be all You've called them and created them to be, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we stand against the negative attitudes of our society. Lord, we disregard them. We pull down those old strongholds of negative thoughts and attitudes against men and fathers in particular. And Father, I just pray for restoration of fatherhood in our church, in our country, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I want some prayer partners to come this morning. And I realize this morning that some of you have some real issues with what I said this morning. And you have some real issues, maybe even with God, because of a bad relationship with a father, or maybe no relationship with a father. But I want to tell you that you need to get that worked out with God. You need to let God deal with that. Let God heal that hurt in your heart. Don't allow that to hinder you in your life any longer. And I encourage you to come for prayer today. There's some of you that are struggling this morning with the message because of some issues with the Father. And I just encourage you, you come for prayer and let God help you get through that. Maybe there's a father that some of you need to forgive your father for some things. And I just encourage you, let God do a work in your life and heal that hurt today. I also want to encourage you fathers, if you're struggling today, you're saying, I'm not the spiritual one. I don't have what it takes. I can't do what you're saying. I encourage you that today, God can put something in you and give you the strength that you need. It's not about you because it's not up to our pride and our ego. No, it is God who gives us wisdom. It's God who gives us strength. It's He who gives us the ability. But as a father, He'll give you what you need to do the job that He's called you to do. Some of you this morning, you realize that your attitude has been wrong and you just need to make that right with God. I encourage you to come for prayer as well. Listen, we have this prayer time at the end of the service because many, many times there are miracles that happen in people's heart and lives. Many times the conviction of the Holy Spirit and as they've heard the word preached, God will do something in our hearts and lives that if we just walk out without any prayer, without giving it any further consideration, so often we leave what God wanted to do in our lives right here in this room. And so I encourage you this morning, if you need prayer, don't be in a hurry, but let God do a work in your life. And as always, if you've come to this service with any need, you need a healing in your body or you're praying for a loved one, our prayer partners are here to pray with you. Praise the Lord. Fathers, we honor you. We bless you. We put you in your rightful place, a place of honor. Lord, bless you.